This is the Mindfulness Handbook, written by Theodore Avila, read for you by Theodore Avila. Introduction: A Letter to the Skeptic. If you have picked up this book, there is a fair chance you do not entirely trust the word mindfulness. I would not blame you. In the 25 years since I started practicing, I have watched a fairly ordinary attention exercise be turned into a billion-dollar industry, a corporate wellness checkbox, a yoga pants color, and a vague gestural promise that the right app, retreat, or instructor will deliver something between mild calm and full transcendence in 8 weeks or less. None of that is the practice. Most of it is the marketing. I want to say that clearly at the beginning because the rest of the book is going to ask you to do something quiet and unglamorous. And I think you deserve to know what the actual offer is. The actual offer is this. There is a particular kind of attention training with roots in Buddhist contemplative traditions and parallels in many other contemplative cultures that, when practiced consistently over time, does measurable things to how a person notices, reacts, suffers, and rests. It does not require a particular belief system. It does not require a guru, a robe, a cushion of any particular brand, or a subscription. It does not, despite what your colleague who came back from a silent retreat keeps saying, make you a calmer or better person in the way you might secretly hope. What it does, in my experience and in the experience of most of the long-term practitioners I know, is gradually rearrange your relationship to the contents of your own mind. The contents are usually still messy, you just stop being quite so identified with them. That is not nothing, but it is also not what most mindfulness books and apps are selling. A few words on who I am, since you are about to spend a couple hundred pages with my voice. I am Theodore Avila. I am in my late 50s. I trained as an experimental psychologist in the late 1980s, drifted into contemplative research in the early 1990s when the field was still small and faintly disreputable, and spent about 15 years running studies on attention, working memory, and the effects of various forms of meditation. I was, at various points, a research associate at two universities I will not name, and a co-author on a number of papers I now have mixed feelings about. Some of the science was good, some of it was overinterpreted, a lot of it has not replicated as cleanly as the first wave of headlines suggested. I will tell you the honest version of that story in the science chapter, and will not pretend the field is in a tidier state than it is. I left research about 10 years ago and have been writing, teaching small groups, and sitting with my own practice since. I am not a Buddhist, though I have spent a lot of time around Buddhists and owe them an enormous amount. I am not a teacher in the lineage sense, and I will be careful in this book not to overstep what that role gives a person the right to say. I am someone who has sat, formally, on a cushion or a chair, doing the thing the book describes, for somewhere between 30 and 90 minutes a day for most of the last quarter century. That is the credential I am offering. It is the only one I trust in this field. Let me say what this book is not, because that is going to do more to set your expectations than any of the things it is. This is not a book about the science of mindfulness, though I will discuss the science and will tell you when I think it is solid. When it is mixed, and when it is being wildly oversold, there are better and more rigorous review papers if that is what you want. This is not a book of guided meditations. There are no audio downloads, no QR codes, no app to install, no subscription tier. This is not a book about the spiritual path, though I will not pretend the practice can be cleanly amputated from its spiritual context. And I will say, honestly, where I think the secular framing has helped people, and where it has lied to them, this is not a self-help book in the sense of promising you a happier life in 30 days. I do not know whether your life will be happier. I do not even know whether mine is happier than it would otherwise have been. The counterfactual is hard to run. What I can say is that the texture of my experience is different than it was, in ways I will try to describe specifically rather than abstractly. And, this is important, this is not a book against apps, retreats, teachers, or any of the structures that have grown up around mindfulness in the last few decades. Some of those are genuinely useful. Some of them are noise. Some of them are, I would say, carefully, harmful to particular people in particular circumstances. I will give you my honest read on what is worth your time and what is not, with the caveat that my honest read is just that. One person's read, formed by a particular set of experiences, and you should use your own judgment. The book is laid out roughly like this. The first six chapters describe the practice itself, what mindfulness actually is, once you strip away the marketing, what attention training looks like in formal sitting and informal daily life, the postures, sitting, standing, walking, eating, the body scan and what it is actually for, and the important distinction between mindfulness and what the broader